Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are back together in the Cleveland studio. And there's a whole bunch to talk about this week, but before we get started, I just wanted to ask, have you seen any of the trial, the Chauvin trial?
I've caught clips in the news. You know, just during the day, it's hard at work to be able to watch it. And I haven't been in a position where I could get it going on my computer at work. But I have seen clips. I have read a lot of the transcript of, you know, various testimony. I guess my opinion on this is that the prosecution is doing a good job. I think the case, especially because of the video and how just impactful, or the video is very impactful.
Sure.
It's a tough hurdle for the defense to get over. I don't think the defense is doing a great job. I think a lot of their questioning, a number of their different lines of questioning for some of the witnesses, I think has gotten them in some trouble with the jury. But I think the biggest overarching issue for the prosecution right now that's really going to tie them up and I think cause issues in the jury is your cause of death, right? There's the emotional aspect. There's the what my eyes are telling me. There's the common sense aspect. There's the humanity aspect. All of that where you're just like, Chauvin is the reason why this man is dead. But the reality is the legal standard is going to be a cause of death. And for cause of death, you have to prove that Derek Chauvin is the reason that that guy is dead, that he is the reason why his heart stopped, that he is the reason why there was no brain activity. And you're because of the drugs in his system, right? And that's the overriding issue that is really haunting the prosecution, because he had fentanyl, because the coroner said, look, there was a fatal level of fentanyl in his system. You are going to have a very difficult time pinpointing which happened first. Was it the knee on the back of the neck that eventually cut off oxygen to the brain, which, you know, caused him to die? Or, you know, was it the fentanyl and the drugs in his system that eventually, one, whether Chauvin was there or not, were going to kill him? Or was he on the path to death and then Chauvin accelerated it, with his actions? And that's going to be a very hard, difficult bar to to get over. And ultimately, I think, you know, you can never say, but I think the jury will probably likely end up settling with manslaughter. There's no level. The only level where that's the right call in reality is legally, right? But from a societal standpoint, from a moral standpoint, from a feeling, emotional, from every other standpoint other than actual legal standard, the right call is murder, right? Second degree murder, in my opinion. But the reality, the legal standard of where you're going, like what Chauvin did, based off of what we have in terms of laws, in terms of what our legal framework looks like, it probably ends up being manslaughter. And that, I mean, it breaks my heart to say it. And the reason why, and people, he still goes to jail. He goes to jail. He goes to jail for maybe 5 years, and he's back out on the street. And, you know, with the current climate that we have, there are people who, when he gets out of jail, are going to label him a hero. Right. There are people on the conservative right wing end that are going to say, you got a raw deal. You were just doing your job. You know, thin blue line, protect the blue, the whole thing. And, you know, there are people who are going to, now, how many people? I don't know. Maybe it's a small fraction that's, that you don't notice. But I mean, with the way things are right now, as crazy as people are, who knows? I mean, there could be a huge swell of support for him, which would just be, I think, even more devastating.
Revolting, yeah. I watched a fair bit when I had a chance to during the week, and I agree the prosecution was very compelling. They did a great job of taking the drug issue head on.
They did a terrible piss poor job of that. That's exactly what I'm saying. They did not do a good job at that. They left that wide open, and that is going to bury them. That's literally what I'm telling you.
The way I figured was
let me put it in layman's terms. Well, they fucked it up.
Okay. the reason why I said what I said was I thought it was smart to bring that out in the forefront because the defense was going to do it. So rather than have the defense come in and say, we're hiding, they're hiding this. They're like, yeah, here it is, but that's not why he died.
You have to bring that out, but I don't think that they did a good job of establishing that Derek Chauvin was the cause of death. That's the issue.
Okay, well, that's pretty important. But yeah, the imagery, some of the imagery that I had seen some of before, and some of it that I hadn't, was just soul-crushing. I mean, the video of the guy calling out the cop, calling out Chauvin, and basically saying, do that shit to me and I'll fuck you up or I'll slap the shit out of you or something. He's saying that while a lifeless man is under Chauvin's knee and Chauvin is acting like he's eating a sandwich. I mean, it is fucking revolting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we have to, like, that to me, that goes to what I said, right? Like, on every level, this is wrong, this is heinous, this, you know, Chauvin should never have been a cop. Should definitely not be a cop anymore, and he needs to be punished severely for what happened here. But the reality is that we as a society have accepted a certain level of, autonomy when it comes to the police and law enforcement, and a certain level of the police being able to protect themselves and us helping it by the people that we elect and the laws that they write and they make that, you know, we allow to go unchecked, right? And you know, we're upset with the outcome here because the outcome is terrible. But the reality is that, you know, things like this happen every day, right? But people don't necessarily die. Cops, you know, take things too far. They use excessive force. They hurt people. You know, these, and I'm not saying that all cops do this, but these sort of things happen on a daily basis in situations where we're like, whew, glad they took care of that guy. Glad they got that cleaned up. That guy was fucking nuts. That guy was fucking crazy, right? Like, so when the end result is something that we are happy with because a guy breaks in the house and he does something, you know, he almost hurts grandma or something like that, and the police get him out, however they do it, you're happy. But in this sort of situation, it's just like, well, we don't like the method that you use, and we definitely don't like the outcome of this, and therefore you are now wrong, where he's done the same thing in other scenarios where we were happy with the outcome because of, you know, the person we believe didn't deserve it, and we were okay with the outcome because that particular person didn't die. That's where we have issues, right? Like, you have to run this back, and we have to really look at, okay, how much freedom have we given the police? Is the toothpaste out of the tube? Can we rein them back in? And the police are going to fight it tooth and nail because everybody does. Anytime you tell someone you now have to work under additional regulations, you can't just do whatever you want to do and self-police yourself.
Right.
They get upset, right? And as everybody would, right? Like, everybody likes as much freedom as possible to do their job however they see fit. But we're now running up against the issue of, are we going to continue to let the police go down this path, or is there going to be a greater level of accountability to the people that they're actually supposed to be serving? And right now we don't know. Like, we're split down the middle. We have some people who say give the police all the power that they want. Oddly enough, that those are the same people who are saying that the government has too much control.
Right.
You know, which is really bizarre. Right. But then and then the other people, you have like the Democrats saying like, government needs more control, we need more regulations, blah, 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 but let's take it away from the police, right? Like, so you have both of these sort of, like, you've got dueling factions within these factions that are dueling against each other that leads me to believe that I don't know if anything can actually happen, you know? And there was a former police officer that we talked to in the past about this, you know, and that was his sort of stance is, I don't know if this country is really ready for that transition because it just seems like we're not doing anything. And I think because of the partisan aspect of this, that's where we're going to have really trouble with, a lot of trouble with seeing reform on a mass scale. And it's going to have to happen locally in small locations throughout the country to see a massive effect over time. And we're talking decades and generations of change.
And my biggest concern, and what I'm most concerned about right now, is a hung jury. That one juror or two jurors say, nope, I'm not convinced.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've said that from the beginning. I think I just put a tweet out a couple days ago saying that, you know, second and third degree murder, I don't think there's a chance in hell that you get the jury to agree to that. I think the best case scenario that people can hope for is manslaughter, but the reality is a hung jury. And I think that you're going to have a holdout or two that are just not willing to say that he committed a crime based off of, you know, evidence, rules, laws, everything else. And I think you get a hung jury. I mean, now I believe you can get another jury to come back at some point and convict him of something. But I could easily see this being a hung jury. And people are going to be upset, and they should be.
Yep. All right. We have to talk about our buddy Matt Gaetz.
Ooh, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh, my goodness. This story has more twists and turns. If this was being made up, they couldn't have made it more fucked up.
It's just like...
All right, where should we start?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the most serious allegation are, you know, sex trafficking of a minor, right? Yeah. And that's the most serious, but I want to say this. I think it's I may get some pushback on it, but I think it's important that we keep in mind innocent and proven guilty in due process.
Agreed.
I don't know if this guy did this, right? I don't know the evidence. I don't know, like, I don't know enough about this girl or the situation, although more and more details keep coming out where it's not a good look. but I mean, I'm not going to say Matt Gaetz should be out of Congress because he's a pedophile that raped a 17-year-old girl. But what I will say is that Matt Gaetz should be out of Congress for, like, a slew, just a laundry list of really shitty behavior that is not becoming of a United States congressman or even a fucking janitor at my office, frankly. And... You know, like, so here's my issue. Matt Gaetz is being accused of sex trafficking,
transporting a minor,
you know, soliciting prostitution, you know, showing, you know, nude photos of women on the floor.
Yep.
You know, there's this weird, what is the thing with the autoerotic asphyxiation death?
Okay, this is one of the weirdest stories ever, but apparently there's an accusation, and again, everyone deserves their day in court, and, you know, if I believed everything that was said about Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or Hunter Biden, then...
Anybody.
You know, right. So I'm not trying to... But the story is that a 29-year-old married black man was found dead in Tallahassee, Florida. In a room that Matt Gaetz is the last person to leave. He died of an autoerotic asphyxiation game, allegedly involving Matt Gaetz. His body was then shipped to Jacksonville, so the coroner there could say he died in Jacksonville because that's where he resided, and they were trying to cover it up. Now, keep in mind, Matt Gaetz' father was a big shot in Florida politics. I think he was the head of the state Senate.
Yeah.
So... That's the accusation. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's provable, but I've read an article that describes
very
that event.
Godfather 2-esque?
It is very Godfather 2-esque. Yeah, right. No, good
you
point.
Know, that girl didn't have a family. Nobody's going to miss her. You know, but this black guy did have a family, and he will be missed. Yeah, it's just... so it's a bizarre scenario. But I want to say this, and this is why I say Matt Gaetz needs to go. Remember Katie Hill?
I do.
Okay, so Katie Hill, her situation was her husband and her aide were having a tryst, a three-way affair where the three of them had sex together on a regular basis.
Yep.
Katie Hill gets elected to Congress, says, hey, we got to kibosh this. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look appropriate. Husband was devastated. The aide was devastated. Husband gets mad. So husband releases naked nude photos of his wife, I guess ex-wife now, but of his wife, and with the aide, like in a really kind of bizarre situation where Katie Hill was like naked brushing the aide's hair, and she got dragged for it.
Yeah.
Right? She got dragged by the GOP. There were people, you know, there were Democrats who really criticized her heavily. I think the biggest issue there was that the girl worked for her, and I think that there's a legit issue there. You hold a certain amount of power over a person. It's pretty inappropriate to have a sexual relationship with that person. They need to go work for somebody else and you keep the thing going, or you got to do something about this power issue, right? But that was the most inappropriate thing of it. Now, your opinion on, three-way tryst or whatever, I mean, I'm not opposed. I'm just saying, I'm not opposed. But, there's plenty of people who feel that that's not appropriate. Okay, fine. But she was forced to resign. Now, whether she did it on her own because of the press, or Nancy Pelosi gave her a call and said, Katie, kick rocks, whatever, she left, right? For something that she didn't do anything illegal, it was maybe inappropriate, it was not proper.
It was consenting,
but they
adults.
Were consenting adults.
Yes.
Right? And they didn't do anything illegal. Now, Matt Gaetz, we're talking crime, multiple crimes, right? We're talking sex trafficking, minors, prostitution, drugs, all of it, right?
Right.
And excessively inappropriate behavior on the congressional floor, on the House floor. So all of that, right? And this doesn't even get into the bullshit politics, right? Like,
right.
This is just strictly your behavior representing the United States, specifically, a specific district in the state of Florida. You can't be on the team anymore, bro. Go work for
if you're going to represent a group of people, the panhandle of Florida, probably the right choice.
Right. they're like, wait, what? He didn't do anything wrong. None of that's even illegal here.
So there's another aspect of this that he and the it was one of the another state official in Florida whose name I'm drawing a blank on. I want to say Copeland, but I think that's wrong. But he and Gaetz are apparently buddies, and this was actually originally an investigation into that guy. It's something to do with
the other guy has been convicted of sex trafficking and dealing with minors and things like that. So that's you're right. That's another aspect of it, right? Like, so you're closely affiliated with this guy, right? Are we saying guilty by association? No, but now all of a sudden. Right, like
guilty by contribution.
Right, like, I mean, like you know, and then he did that really weird thing where he dragged Tucker Carlson into it, right? Where he's just like, Tucker, you'll remember we had dinner with your wife and the whole thing. So the question is, what does Tucker Carlson know? And Tucker Carlson immediately puckered up and was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Ends the interview and says that was the most bizarre thing ever, and no one has talked about Matt Gaetz on Fox News since. It's a really bizarre situation. I want to be clear. He needs to be out of Congress. Whether he resigns or they force him out, they can't force him out, but I mean, someone on the Republican side needs to have a very strong, stern conversation with him. Hey, you need to go, right? And it's not because I don't like his politics. Yes, they're trash, but this, we can't have this.
I think Kevin McCarthy needs to step up and say, but here's another thing that doesn't get talked about much anymore. Apparently, Matt Gaetz was talking to Newsmax and OAN, and allegedly also Fox, about possibly leaving politics early to become a right-wing pundit.
Well, now we know, though. I mean, like, yeah, he was, but now he knew this was coming.
Okay.
He knew the heat was on. He was, he had been under investigation. You know, there's also the aspect of this where someone was trying to blackmail him and his father or extort them or something like that, which we don't know is true. But there was something that apparently there's wire. There's a lot of different moving parts to this. But what we do know is Matt Gaetz knew that the shitstorm was coming. And so now all of a sudden it makes a lot of sense that he's talking about leaving Congress early, going to Newsmax, OAN, Fox. Fox came out and said, no, we have not talked to you and we don't want you. Right?
Right. Well, so here's the thing. If he's being extorted by somebody in the Department of Justice, it's a lot easier to extort someone if they did something illegal. If someone accuses me of the things Matt Gaetz is accused of, I say, no, accuse me.
Right.
Are you going to release it?
Prove
Go ahead. You can't prove shit because it didn't happen.
Right.
Matt Gaetz ain't saying that. He's saying, well, I'm being extorted. Okay, because of what? And there's another aspect of this, the fake ID aspect. So apparently he was involved in creating fake IDs. If they were to make fake IDs for underage girls to hide their age and traffic them, then he's not just a scumbag who's fucking a 17-year-old. He's a monster. And all these people that were, you know, cosmic ping pong pizza and QAnon and all that. Yeah. Where the fuck are you now?
Well, here's another aspect before we go all the way down the hole of madness. I just want to clarify something because you kind of brought this up. This is a federal case. It's a federal investigation, right? Like, so people are asking questions about the age of consent in Florida, right, and the age of consent in New York and D.C. and all these other places. This is a federal case. It's not a state case. It wasn't bought by Florida or New York or D.C. And so because it's federal, the age of consent federally is 18, right? 18, right? She is not 18. Therefore, right, as soon as he took her over state lines, that's when he got big boy trouble. Right? Like now it's not a state case. You know what I mean? Now it's not a state case. Now the feds are involved. And the more that comes out, right? Like, I mean, there's also, like, they also paid for prostitutes and drugs using Cash App, using Venmo, you know, like PayPal. Like, what in the actual fuck? Who, but, like, listen, it's one thing if you're going to send your buddy $50 for a THC vape pen. That's one thing.
I would never do such a thing.
Right. Like it. But it's a whole other thing if you're paying for prostitutes, if you're paying for meth, cocaine, whatever. It's a whole other thing when you start paying for that digitally because it leaves a footprint.
Right. Hey, Matt, you should have looked into that Bitcoin thing. It could have really helped you out here.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just talking to a buddy last night about Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is something that, we're going to talk to our buddy Mark at Ben a little bit later for a bonus episode. But he's not a big fan of Bitcoin, but we'll talk about it. But one of the big issues with Bitcoin right now is we don't have a great use for it, right? Other than basically laundering money and buying things illegally.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's like, you want to buy something illegal, chances are, or something, like, here's a great example. I located a bottle of bourbon that I had been looking for a couple years back, and it wasn't at a store. I had to buy it basically on the secondary market. Very expensive bottle, and I had to pay for it with Bitcoin. So I had to go and buy Bitcoin because you're really not supposed to buy and sell alcohol online. It's supposed to be, obviously,
through distributors,
states, so it can be monitored that way. This person got their hands on a bottle that I was looking for. And so, you know, in order to buy it, I had to buy Bitcoin and send him the coin and all this other shit. And he sent me the bottle, and I mean, everything was legit, but like that's like one of kind of your main and best use for, you know, digital currency right now. So yes, you're right. That would have been a good way to buy for the hookers and the blow through Bitcoin.
We're not trying to lecture people on how to get hookers and blow, but if
yes,
you're going
we are.
To,
listen, okay, we all right. are all purpose, all serving. Like, we are here to help. All right. Right, good or bad, we are here to help. If you're gonna do it right.
Your prostitution merit badge, apparently, Matt Gaetz, will be revoked because you didn't follow the...
Right.
Yeah, he's fucked.
Mine won't be, though.
he's fucked, and fuck him. I mean, he's a scumbag of a guy. Another really telling thing about this, and this is very anecdotal, and I'll own that, but when he dragged that DOJ guy's name into it, his response was, I have nothing to do with this case. The only thing I know about this case is like the thousands others that have heard the rumors. That's not enough to convict, but that's a very telling thing to me. When everyone in D.C. knows the story, D.C. is pretty good at staying tight-lipped until it isn't.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get burned for that. And again, fuck him. But
and let's be honest here. Matt Gaetz probably isn't going to jail, right?
Oh, probably not.
I mean, he's not going to go to jail. We're not a big fan of sending guys like him to jail. We should be, and if we did a long time ago, then we probably wouldn't have guys like Matt Gaetz, right?
Right.
But we're not a big fan of it, so he's probably not going to go to jail. He'll be out of Congress. I think even Newsmax and OAN wouldn't be dumb enough to bring him on as an analyst. But listen, his dad's worth like $40, $50 million. Matt Gaetz will be fine financially, and he'll fade away. He may end up being some sort of consultant or something, but I mean,
club in Panama City Beach.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, like the guy. I mean, his punishment will be, he's not going to be in the limelight anymore. He will try to force himself in, I'm sure, because he loves the attention. But eventually, his star will fade, and that'll be the end of Matt Gaetz. You know, from a political standpoint.
I'll be curious what we're saying about him next week, if we're not saying he's already gone. I want to talk to you about something that happened related to the January 6th Capitol attack. So one of the men arrested in this was wearing a shirt, when he was arrested, wearing a shirt that said, "I was there January 6th. Again, that's where he's arrested. That's what he's mugshotted in. And he also apparently was trying to get a group to target the officer that killed the woman breaking into the window. It was a black police officer. And apparently he was doxing the guy and trying to encourage people to hang him. And is that in and of itself a violent crime? Like, can you be convicted of that? Isn't that, I mean...
Wait, say that again?
So what was he doing? He was trying to get the ID of the cop that shot the woman out to people for purposes of killing him. I mean, isn't that a conspiracy to commit murder? Maybe it's hard to convict in that, but boy, how do you not charge
him? Yeah, I mean, I would have to think about what the charge would be. But yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely an angle there. And I, you know, honestly, I hadn't thought about it. So, yeah, there's definitely an angle there that has to be taken into consideration from a criminal charge standpoint. I just don't know what it is right now. I'm having a little bit of a brain fart. But yeah, no, that's definitely not something that just goes to the wayside.
And like enough, like you said, with the PayPal and Cash App and all that stuff, this was done on social media. It is documented. It is visible. So all these people doing this dumb shit in documentable ways is...
Yeah, it's... I mean, there is a lot of that with these groups. You know, and listen, we've said this from the beginning, that a lot of these people aren't very bright.
Right.
And they're, you know, the fact that they're falling for some of these conspiracy theories, and they seriously believed that, you know, on March 4th that Trump was going to rise to the presidency again, and there was going to be this giant bloodletting of you know, the liberal elites, kind of tells you what you're dealing with in terms of a common sense intelligence level. And so it doesn't really surprise me that they would be dumb enough to wear shirts that say where they were and what they did on January 6th and put their faces on camera and do all this stuff in public. It really doesn't. I mean, and the reality is that in this age of Trump, it really started with the Tea Party, but it was accelerated with Trump. There is a certain level of pride in being very boastful about your, you know, pushing back against liberalism, progressivism,
the media, Democrats,
the media, the liberal media, basically anyone who disagrees with, you know, the middle class over 40 white guy, right? You know, conservative, I'll quote, right. You know, in air quotes. You know, so the more obnoxious that they can be, the better. And the reason why is because Trump showed them that there's really no recourse, right? Like, at least for him, there wasn't.
Sure.
Right? And then there's a Marjorie Taylor Greene. There is no recourse for her actions. They can say whatever they want. They can offend whoever they want. And they just keep getting more and more popular, more and more press, more and more attention. So it's trickling down, and it has trickled down, and it did trickle down to the people who follow them. Oh, well, works for them, works for me, right? And for the most part, they're right until they're wrong, and they end up going to jail because they're threatening people's lives.
Right, but you left Matt Gaetz out in a group of people that...
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to. I mean, but we're kind of beating a dead horse at that point. But I mean, yeah, yes, all of them, right?
Yep.
And I mean, he started it like, listen, you get in trouble for this, just lie about it. Just lie about it. Just lie about it. Keep lying about it. Say the more ridiculous thing, you say it, and then you pretend to be the victim. Like, that's all it is, right? Like, just say whatever you want. When they attack you, pretend to be the victim. If you did do something, lie about it. Again, pretend to be the victim. You go down the line, and then eventually something else will happen. It'll blow over, which is true for Trump, which is true for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Not working out for Matt Gaetz. But whether you're a Kevin McCarthy or a Jim Jordan or whoever, they're all following that line. Ted Cruz, all of them, right? Now, the issue is that, listen, they want to hammer you. Those same people will hammer you about the liberal elites and all this other stuff and how they get away with murder, but you fail to recognize that they are not being punished for anything that they've done wrong, right? Like, I mean, like, they get pressure in the media, but other than that, so then when you're the average guy walking around, right, you're just, you know, Bob in accounting down in North Carolina or whatever, and you're pissed off at black people taking your jobs and the Mexicans are all running through, and you start running your mouth on Facebook saying whatever you want to say, the most racist and vile things, and all the things you're going to do, and people that you want to kill, and all that other stuff, and then you end up in jail, then all of a sudden you realize, like, wait a minute, I just said and did what this person did, and they're not in trouble. It's just like, well, yeah, but you're not a part of that class. And that's where you people are fucking up. You think these people are here to support you. They don't give a fuck about you. They're using you to collect power. And listen, progressives and Democrats aren't that much different, right? Like, I mean, they're not. It's just a power play. Chuck Schumer has been in power for how long?
No,
Nancy Pelosi for how long?
Sure. But right? Democrats are promoting a lizard people agenda.
No, they're not. But some of the narratives are bullshit, right? Some of the narratives are completely bullshit, and they're not. Listen, all I know is these people have been in power for a long time, and the hood that I grew up in is no fucking better than it was. They've done fucking nothing, right? Like some of these people, you know. I mean, look, I'm losing his name, but the congressman in Baltimore, right? Like, I spent a lot of time in Baltimore,
right?
And he got praised for everything that he did in Baltimore. Baltimore is a very interesting city, but the hood in Baltimore, you ain't going there, right? Like, so I was like, I don't know what the fuck you were doing for all that time, but you have not done much to make this place better, right? I don't care what you say. I don't give a fuck. Like, listen, you are a powerful man, and I respect everything you've done, but this place still fucking sucks.
Okay.
Right. So there's a certain level of accountability that needs to be held there. So I listen, and this is not about attacking Democrats and progressives, but what I'm saying is, when you can't put someone on a pedestal for their behavior, right? When they are on a completely different class level than you, and then think that you can get away with what they can get away with, right? But these people don't get that. And so they don't, but they will as they start going to jail for the bullshit that they're trying to pull off.
Yep. I mean, if I went around my office and showed naked pictures of girls that I'm claiming to have had sex with, I'd get fired.
Instantly.
And I should. Matt Gaetz is doing it in the...
Like, not even if you showed naked pictures of... if you just walked around showing naked pictures of yourself. Right? I mean, like...
I'd rather show naked pictures of girls I had sex with.
Okay, either way. But what I'm saying is, like, there's no scenario where you keep your job.
Right?
Showing naked pictures of anyone other than maybe your kid. Right? And even then, you got to be careful. Right? Like, look how cute my kid is.
A two-year-old in a bathtub, maybe yourself.
Maybe, right.
All right, that could go down all kinds of weird paths. And anyway, the reason I brought up the Capitol attack on January 6th, the reason I need to clarify is, we had another one this week. A guy drove his car... Yep. Police got there was a shootout. The officer injured. No officer died. Right? I heard mixed reports. I believe
the officer has died.
Okay.
But I think he died today.
Okay. I didn't know that. But anyway, the Capitol building is obviously becoming the right wing nut target. I mean, it is too.
Well, this guy wasn't a right wing nut.
Who was he? I didn't.
He was actually followed the Nation of Islam.
Oh, I didn't.
Farrakhan supporter.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, that's what happens when I don't do research. What more do we know about the guy? The last I heard,
I mean, he's dead. So, you know,
okay.
We don't know a lot, but I mean, his social media and everything, you know, he was a supporter of Farrakhan. Now, what's interesting about that is I don't like, that's a whole different section of people, right? Like that's,
sure.
I'm not going to put supporters of Farrakhan on the progressive Democratic side.
I think they would be offended if you did.
Yes. So this is a different issue in terms of who the attacker is. But I mean, listen, heinous what he did. Got what he deserved. And you know, he's dead. So there's not much more to say about it. Now right-wing conservatives are losing their shit because people are just like, well, where's all the outrage over this guy? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, he did a terrible thing. And he paid for it with his life, as did the officer. I think we raise and support the family of the officer. You mourn the loss of that officer. But this ended, like, I mean, there's nothing more you can do, you know,
right.
In terms of... you know, it's not like there's a manhunt to bring him to justice. I don't think you can, you know, now I guess the argument is, why are people not attacking Louis Farrakhan like they did Donald Trump in terms of Donald Trump's, you know, role,
rhetoric,
rhetoric and things like that. And listen, Louis Farrakhan has a lot of rhetoric himself. And I am no fan of Louis Farrakhan. And so, yeah, I guess you can say that, yeah, should, it's hard for me to say. I don't pay attention to Louis Farrakhan, to be honest with you. I don't know the last time I've seen him on TV. I've heard anything that he said. I don't follow. I don't know anything about him. Like, I don't know when the last time he's even been in the media. So to immediately jump to, why aren't you going after him like Trump? It's like, look, Trump was on TV every day hammering that the election was stolen and that people need to come to D.C. I haven't heard anything like that from Louis Farrakhan. And I know that Louis Farrakhan can be inflammatory. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's said something like, I mean, he said some very inflammatory things that if people actually did would be very, like, sure, could end very tragically. So I haven't heard them, right? And because, right, he just doesn't get that sort of media coverage, it's hard for me to turn around and say he needs the same sort of blame. Now, if it comes out that he gave a speech where he said that, you know, we need to go and finish the job of what the people on January 6th did, but we need to do it for, you know, black Muslims or whatever, then yeah, then he definitely deserves some heat for that. But I can't say, because I don't know. I, like I said, I haven't seen Louis Farrakhan in forever. Actually, the last time I heard him, Busta Rhymes released a new album, and Busta Rhymes used a short excerpt from one of his speeches on it. The song hits, but that's okay, all I got. All right. It's great to work out to.
So you said a bit ago that you weren't trying to attack you know, liberal media or liberal agenda. I am about to, because I watched the Young Turk video clips on YouTube all the time. And I saw a headline, and the headline was Marjorie Taylor Greene's terrible form doing pull-ups or something to that effect. And immediately I'm like, I know exactly what this is going to be. She's going to be doing kipping pull-ups, mm-hmm, from, you know, which is a CrossFit thing, which I've done a lot of. It's actually a really good exercise. It's not a traditional pull-up, but it's a, you know, it makes you work very hard.
I mean, it's a terrible exercise for your body, but it's hard to do.
It is hard to do. And, right. But anyway, so she's doing push presses and kipping pull-ups. They're like, oh, look at her pull-ups. Look at her this. Well, first of all, she's doing a workout that lots of people do. I've done plenty of them. And second of all, who gives a fuck about her pull-ups, you assholes? I got so mad at people when they went after AOC for a dance she did in college. The Young Turks are doing exactly the same bullshit with Marjorie Taylor Greene. When we talked about her a couple weeks ago, you made the point that you didn't want to just make it, you know, an attack Marjorie Taylor Greene show, like, and I agree with you completely. And these assholes who are claiming to be the voice of progressives, the voice of reason, they're the ones who would have defended AOC to the hilt, are doing exactly the same nonsense that I would have called out OAN or Fox for. So guys, shut the fuck up and do stuff that matters. And these, yeah, are people I like.
Yeah, I don't like them. So, but you're right. I mean, kipping pull-ups are what they are. They're terrible for your shoulders, and they're terrible for the muscles in the rear of your back just because of the motion that they put you into. I guess from an anatomy standpoint and from a physical fitness standpoint, I'm like, eek, those give me the creeps. But I don't care that she does them. Like, they're done in CrossFit all the time. I don't have an issue with CrossFit. Like, I'm a powerlifter, right?
Right.
And the reason why I powerlift is because at every meet, I'm going to do the same three lifts. I'm going to squat, I'm going to bench, I'm going to deadlift. It's just how my brain works. I like knowing exactly what I'm going to do. People are like, oh, Steve, you should do strongman. I'm like, I don't want to do strongman. The events change. It's random. It's stupid. I don't like the awkwardness of it. I don't care. I'm really fucking strong. I'm just as strong as these guys, and they lift weird stones. I don't care. If I need to pick up a fucking weird stone, I can. I just don't want to. Right? So I don't care how, just be active. Whatever you want, if you want to do CrossFit, go fucking crazy, do all the kipping pull-ups you want. I don't care. Right? Like, just be, you want to go out and run and hike and do all that weird shit in nature, go fucking nuts. I don't care. Cross country ski, enjoy. Doesn't, what you eat don't make me shit. Right? So I don't have an issue with the way she works out. And frankly, good job on her, right?
Like, I mean, she's a 48-year-old woman
kicking ass. Can Unger? Can he do it? Can he do a regular pull-up? You know what I mean? Can he do 10 pull-ups? Can he do 20 push-ups? Right? Can he do a clean and jerk? Right? Like, listen, if you can't, like, people who don't work out, criticizing people who work out at any level, like, those people irritate the fuck out of me. Right? Like, that shit.
Oh,
you want to talk about gear grinding? Like, bitch, you can't stand up off the couch without needing a fucking a crane, right? Like, so don't talk to me about anything when it comes to fitness.
You're bringing a childhood flashback. My neighbor once was lecturing me about how weightlifting was bad for my heart when I was a kid, while he had a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other. Jim, weightlifting's terrible for you. I'm like, dude, do you know how funny this is?
Right. That's what alienates me. You know, people who don't work out at all, like, oh, that powerlifting, you're going to get hurt. Like, yeah, but you are hurt right now just fucking standing here. Right. So shut up. But yeah, like, if you want to criticize Marjorie Taylor Greene, criticize her on everything that she says and that she does as it relates to her role as a congressman in the United States Congress, or congresswoman. Right. In the United States Congress representing Georgia. Right. That's where you can attack her all day on the merits of what she says and does at her job. This shit doesn't fucking matter. You guys are just making fun of her because you are fucking bullies. That's all you're doing.
It's really right? shitty.
Like, now, I'm standing up for... It's against their behavior, right? Like, I'm not protecting Marjorie Taylor Greene, but that sort of bullying bullshit is the same exact thing that they would attack, you know, Fox, OAN, Newsmax for when they do the same sort of shit to, like, you said, AOC or whoever.
Right, and that's why I wanted to call them out. So, bad on you, Young Turks. Speaking of bad on you, how about the state of Georgia? Mm. So the state of Georgia has passed a bunch of laws that I don't think anyone could argue are intended to suppress votes and suppress minority votes.
And you're right. So I want to go through a little bit of the Georgia voting law, right? Because it's 98 pages, and I went through a bulk of those pages to kind of look at what this thing is, right? Because it was really bothering me what people were saying. And the other big issue that people were really focusing on, you can't get people water in line, and it's a crime. And that's been the rallying cry, right? Like, oh, if you can't get people water in line, then this is the worst thing that you could ever do. And guys, like, you're missing the big picture here, right? It's not the fact that you can't get people water in line. It's the fact that they're creating a situation where people are going to people who already have to wait in line are going to have to wait in line even longer. Right, like that's the issue. The fact that you have to wait so long that you might need water, that you might need food, that you might need to go to the bathroom, and you may need to do those things more than once. Like, that's the ridiculous part, right? Like, living in Ohio, in Northeast Ohio, specifically where we live, like, in the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years, I don't think I've waited more than 15 minutes to vote. I don't know if I've waited more than 10 minutes to vote. I've always been able to walk in and, you know, do what I need to do. And, like, it's taken me no longer than 15 minutes to vote total, you know, in the last, you know, 10, 12 years. So, you know, we have it relatively good here. So when you go through the list of some of the changes in this bill, you know, one of the first thing that pops up, you have they've cut beyond, like, more than half the time away from requesting an absentee ballot, right? Like, so you used to have... I believe 180 days, they reduced it to 78 days. you have stricter new voter ID regulations for submitting an absentee ballot, right? Like, so you have to have, you know, your state ID, and you have to photocopy it. It has to be attached to your ballot. And then on the outside of the envelope, you have to have your driver's ID, your license ID number on the ballot, which, and on the Georgia ID, if you look at it, like, there's two numbers that if you're not paying close attention to, you could easily put the wrong number on there as the voter ID. There's one in the middle of the license, and there's one on the bottom. The one on the bottom is wrong. You need to use the one in the middle. And then there's also the issue, if you don't have an ID, they do give you an option using the last four of the social, which I think is important. And the one thing that, you know, they're trying to figure out is how to get people IDs. Like, if one of the big issues for people who have pushed back against voter ID laws is that, look, you say everybody needs an ID, but you also make it very difficult for people to obtain that ID. So that is your form of oppression. Like, if it was easier for people to get an ID, then fine, okay, then everybody get an ID. But because of the difficulty of obtaining one, then that's where the suppression aspect of requiring voter ID comes in. And I always say, I reference where we are because it's where we are, it's what we know, but listen, there are multiple BMVs, you know, Bureau of Motor Vehicles, at least in Northeast Ohio. Like, they're all over the place, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, just from where we're sitting right now, I know that there are probably four within a 10 to 15 minute drive of where we're at right now.
I can only think of two off the top of my head, but I'm not
gonna, right. Like, there's
Parma
one
and nearby. And
there's Parma. Plaza. There's one on 150th. There's one in Westlake. Over there by like Ollie's and where Babies R Us used to be and where that vitamin shop is.
Okay.
I'm not trying to drag you here.
I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying, I mean, but there's multiple, right? Like, sure. If you need to go get a license, you can. You know that you have multiple options. They have hours that, you know, they've got extended hours where, you know, they usually close at 5 or 6, but sometimes they stay open until 6 or 7. And there's there's droves of them all over the state. Right, like, so it's easy for us to obtain the ID. I think the most it would cost is $25 to get just a state ID. So it's something that's relatively affordable. It's easy to do. And by requiring an ID, it's not a burden on a citizen to get that ID so that they can vote.
Well, if you live on the east side of Cleveland and don't have a car, is it the same? I'll bet it's not. I don't know.
But I
think that's the key, right? Is, you know, for you and I living in a, you know, relatively suburban environment, very
no,
easy.
No, because where I work, you know, east of downtown, and you know, there's one right on 55th, and there's another one in Independence. Like there are, they do a good job of it. Now I know that they've consolidated some, but it's still something that, you know, here in Ohio, it's different than down in Georgia. What they're doing, so Georgia right now is trying to push back on this in terms of creating better access to the IDs. And that's how they counter this very strict need for ID on the absentee ballot, which I think is important. Like, if this is the law, you have to figure out how to counteract them. So some of the other things...
Are they also reducing the number of polling places?
Can I just get through the list? So you've got... It's illegal for election applications... For election officials to mail out absentee ballots.
Say that again?
It's illegal for election officials to mail absentee ballot applications, right? Like, so they can't mail them out. So what has to happen is you, as an absentee voter, have to request it, and then they can send it.
They can't do what they just, did in Ohio, how you get an absentee ballot.
Like,
okay.
Right, they just can't mail them out blindly. So there's fewer drop boxes, right? Like, so in Metro Atlanta, Fulton, Cobb, DeKalb, and Gwinnett County, right? Those are the four kind of counties that make up Metro Atlanta. During this last election, they had 94 drop boxes, okay? So based on the new rules, using voter registration and everything else, that number would go down to
94 to 23.
And previously, they had 24 access. You could, you know, 24-hour access. The drop boxes are outside. Now, those drop boxes have to go inside. And they go to, they have to be basically in polling and election centers. And whenever those places close, that's when you no longer have access to the drop boxes. Right. And that's a big one. You know, extending voting hours becomes more difficult. You need an order from a judge and you have to have compelling proof. I'm not necessarily, that's not the end of the world, but that could be an issue because they're like, every election, there seems to be an issue where people may need a little extra time to vote.
And that's where I was bringing up the suburban thing, because that hasn't happened in the suburbs, but in the city of Cleveland, the city of Columbus, there have been 5 and 6 hour lines.
Exactly. So you also have the food or water misdemeanor, which I think is an issue, but the bigger issue is what's creating the long lines. Like, that's what you have to attack, right? Like, if you just say, okay, fine, you can get people food and water,
that doesn't solve the problem
that you have people waiting in line for hours. Election officials can no longer accept third-party funding. Now, this is important because a lot of your counties in Georgia just didn't have a lot of money, right, for the elections, or there was a runoff or whatever. So they got money from outside nonprofits to be able to hold an election, right, so that they had food, they had the resources, they could, you know, everything that they need to, you know, open a polling place. And what they did, they cut money off so that they can't do that. So now, if you don't have the money to run your election, then you just don't have the money to run your election. You got to hope that the state gives you what you need. Otherwise, good luck.
Good luck, yeah.
The legislature has more control over the state election board, right? So the state, like in the state of Ohio, they're, you know, basically autonomous, right? In this particular instance, the legislature has taken a lot more control, and that's an issue because it's Georgia. It's mostly Republican state, right? As it relates to right, and so there's concern about, you know, a partisan aspect in terms of how they interact with the state election board, especially in tight races that negatively impact Republicans. And then also, the legislature is now empowered to suspend county election officials, which, you know, people in Fulton, Cobb, and DeKalb and Gwinnett County have serious concerns about, because those are Democratic strongholds. And that seems to kind of be the target of that particular piece of the legislation.
Right. I mean, clearly the biggest population center in the state of Georgia is Atlanta.
Right.
So unlike Ohio, where there's really three major cities, there you've got one.
Right.
And so if you control how voting happens in that city, especially if you're Republicans trying to control the Democratic vote, a lot easier.
Right. And so, and look, I think with this, what they're doing is, it's not so sweeping, right, that, you know, 40% of black people aren't going to be able to vote, right? But what it is, it's that it's going to impact just that small percent. Like, listen, Biden won Georgia by 11,000 votes, right? And these little tweaks, right, like these little tweaks are, if all of this was in place, right, for the 2020 election, then there's a good chance that not only does Trump win the state of Georgia, but Republicans win in the Senate.
Yep.
Right? Like, so they did just enough to where it doesn't necessarily have to disenfranchise people, but it makes it harder, and it pushes, you know, it puts hurdles and obstacles in front of people that will make it harder, that will hopefully deter them, if you're a Republican, deter certain people from voting, because chances are likely that those people will be Democrats.
Right. I mean, weird comparison, but when New England was deflating footballs, it was in part to reduce their chances of fumbling. Did it change every game in the same way? No. But it made them far less likely to turn a ball over and tips the scales in their favor a bit, and that bit turns into a lot. Now,
right. I mean, we're just
kind of weird analogy, but
you're looking at a state that was very tightly contested.
Yep.
And this is the sort of thing that can push things away from. Now, listen, the response has to be, if you're in Atlanta, if you're in Metro Atlanta, one of these main, you know, Democratic counties, right? And you're, you know, whether you're an activist or you're just a concerned citizen, like, you, if you're going to vote absentee, then you need to know this, right? Like, and you need to be out telling everybody, like, look, these are the new rules. This is what you got to do. And figure out ways to work within the new rules, but still keep people involved. And just like, look, if we want to change this, you got to get out and vote. And unfortunately, the rules suck right now, but this is what we got to do, right? And you got to prepare, and you got to team up, and you got to figure out ways to get people what they need so that they can do, so that they can partake in their constitutionally given rights.
Right. And it's going to fall on the Democratic Party of those counties to reach out. I mean,
Here's the deal. Look. Republicans now have a lot of control over this, so you have to cross your T's and dot your I's. You can't fuck up, right? Like, you can't fuck up. If you're voting absentee, you got to get your ID on there. You got to get the right number on there. And you got, like, if you got to have fucking classes on, this is the correct voter ID, and if you don't have an ID, this is how you get one. And if you don't have the money to get one, then we will start a pool to get people, you know, to get you the $15, $25, $30, $50, whatever you need to get yourself an ID, right? Like, those are the sort of things that you have to do to kind of fight back against this. Right, because then, listen, if you're able to pull off an election where, you know, your next election where the Democrats win and they win in an even wider margin, where some of these things where the legislature can't get involved, right, where because the margin of victory is too big, right, that's the ultimate win. But you got to fight to get that, and that's where Democrats really need to come through. You know, Stacey Abrams, it's just like, look, these are the rules. They suck. We're going to fight them in court, but there's a good chance we're not going to win them. So now we got to beat them at their own game.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Democrats, when they're running ads come election season, instead of running ads about how so-and-so sucks,
you need to be running ads on, this is how you vote. Yes. Right. And if you want an absentee ballot, you've got 78 days to do it. You know, and that starts in 2 weeks.
Right.
That starts in 15 days. That starts in 1 week. That starts today. Go get your absentee ballot now. You got to get it in. And this is what you got to do when you send it in.
Yeah, okay. Agreed. And so as a result of all this, and how thinly veiled an attempt it is to suppress votes, Major League Baseball says you don't get to show the All-Star Game anymore. And I think the NFL said you don't get to show the draft, or was that also Major League Baseball?
The draft is here in Cleveland.
Well, the draft this year.
Anything about the NFL, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Major League Baseball, maybe Major League Baseball draft is going to be there, but whatever. Either way, the All-Star Game will not be now. And so Atlanta's losing out on a money-making opportunity. The All-Star game was in Cleveland not that long ago, and it was pretty cool. I didn't go, but a bunch of people took the kids there and said it was a really good time. I'm sure there are people in Atlanta who are grousing about that, and I don't know what to say. I mean, I respect baseball for doing it, but ultimately, where the All-Star game is held, all it does really is financially punish a city, and it doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot with this, right? There's a number of companies that are saying that they're going to pull out of Atlanta, right? Talking about moving headquarters and things like that. And, that's not great, right? Like, I mean, like, right now, you're hurting a number of companies, small businesses, and a lot of hospitality workers who had the potential to make life-changing money, right? Like, if you're a bartender or you're a server, you know, an All-Star game is a sort of situation where, you know, you could work 3-4 nights over the course, during that duration, and you could make $500-$600 each night. And people are like, oh, $500-$600. Like, yeah, if you make $100,000 a year, then $500-$600, you're just like, well, fine, whatever. But if you're a person who only makes $20,000 a year, and you got all sorts of debt, or you got something that you need to buy, or you need to pay for a class, or whatever it might be, you know, all of a sudden you're having a $1,500 week or something like that. Like, listen, when I was in law school, right, like, I was a broke law student. My parents didn't have money. I wasn't getting checks from mommy and daddy every week or every month, right? Like, I took the bare minimum just so I could survive in terms of loans, and I had to work to kind of close the gap. And I did a lot of work in bars as a bouncer and as a bartender and bar back and everything else. So those nights, like, you know, people make fun of me about working the gay pride parade. I'm like, look, you know, I walked out of these places with $500-$800, right? And living in Chicago as a broke law student, you're goddamn right I will deal with the sexual harassment and dudes grabbing my nipples for that type of money when I'm fucking broke. Sure. You know, I mean, like, so this is a sort of situation where people, whether they're students or just, you know, people who have been working in hospitality or whatever it might be, people in between jobs, this is a great opportunity was a great opportunity for them to kind of get a step ahead, possibly, not to mention the number of businesses that have been punished and brutally just crushed because of COVID, right? Like, this is an opportunity for those places to get back on their feet. And you just snatch the rug right from under them.
And you did it to try to punish the state for doing something bad, but the people who ultimately get hurt are not the target. Right. So you look great, Major League Baseball. You did the right thing. You stood on your high horse, and you fucked a lot of people that you probably didn't mean to, but you did.
Right. I mean, and it's just like, look, now those people need to look at their congressman, at their legislator, whatever, and say, like, look, you, because you guys are fucking around, this is what happened, right? You hurt us, right? Like, so that could... Fumble.
Kong has entered the
bull in a china shop. But anyway, like, so I like that's you know, my critique of Major League Baseball and that decision. I don't agree with it. I understand why they did it. I don't think it was the right move. I think there's more energy that needs to be put into actually fighting this legislation and getting people the resources they need to adhere to it so that they can vote and have their voice heard and then be able to get people in who can make changes. But I don't know if this was the move.
Baseball will get patted on the back by lots of people, and they probably don't deserve it.
Yeah. The other thing.
Also, I do respect they did something.
I mean, they did something. It was just the wrong thing. So I'm not going to really give them credit for it, right? Like, I mean, I'm not going to pat you on the back for fucking up. Like, you fucked up. This was a mistake. Now, the funny thing that'll happen is that you'll have a lot of conservatives who are going to talk about boycotting baseball.
I'm not going to watch baseball anymore.
It's just like, how much baseball were you watching? How much money, like, how many jerseys did you buy? How many tickets did you, you know, how many games did you go to? Were you contributing to anything anyway? And for a lot of people who are going to spout off about how they're not watching baseball anymore, like, it's not going to matter. You know, I mean, the ratings in baseball aren't going to go up. They're not going to go down that much. Chances are what happens is the conservative backlash will spur a progressive support,
right?
And then you're going to have a bunch of fucking progressives who know nothing about sports at all ever, right, talking about how much they love baseball now. And, you know, when you ask them how they score, they're not going to be able to tell you how a pitcher scores a touchdown with the hockey stick and sport ball. But, you know, they're all about the baseball and look at all these black players and
by the way, stuff. I just realized the best way for them to have handled it. Instead of doing what they did on All-Star Weekend, they should have done a whole bunch of stuff highlighting what's going on in Georgia. Use your platform, use your window of attention, and say,
Where now, what they should have done is had the Major League All-Star game in Atlanta and did a giant fucking voter registration drive.
Oh, okay. But just use your advertising time to say, here's what's important for voting. There.
Right.
We could have done a right thing with baseball and not
this is how you vote, and we're going to have a, you know, come to the stadium. Even if you don't go to the game, you can get registered to vote, whatever.
All right, we got to wrap up because we got Ben coming on in a little bit. But we got to talk about you have to tell me about the Lil Nas Satan shoe. What the fuck is that all about?
Lil Nas, I don't know much about it. Like, I mean, all I know is that the shoe, like, so.
The shoe is clearly a Nike ripoff.
Yeah, it's a Nike ripoff. And Nike has, you know, put out a cease and desist order. The shoes are like, he only made so many pairs. They were like $1,000 a pair. There's like a drop of human blood. He makes this ridiculous video where he's, you know, twerking on Satan. And people are like losing their shit over it, right? And most of the people losing their shit are older, black, church-going, you know, very conservative people. And now all of a sudden they're going back to his song Old Town Road and saying, oh, this song isn't appropriate. And how were we allowing this to be an anthem? And I'm kind of like, I don't care. Like, I didn't like the song Old Town Road. It's obnoxious. It's a terrible rap song. His lyrics are trash. He's not a good lyricist. He's not a good artist. I don't like him. He's annoying, right? Like, but because he's gay, there was this whole thing that we had to support him no matter what, right? Because he was being left off the country Billboard charts with this shitty song. And so there was a big outcry, and Billy Ray Cyrus came and did a remix with him. And so then the Bill Country Music Charts put him back on, and now we're supposed to celebrate him because, you know, he's a gay rapper and he's come out, you know, he's come out for it and all that other stuff. And it's just like, look, man, I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want anyone to hurt him. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. But I'm not, like, the reason why I'm not supporting him is because he's gay. I'm not supporting him because he's a trash artist. Right, like, I mean, he's just a trash artist.
You made it sound like you're not supporting me because he's gay, which is not what you meant.
No, my reason for not supporting him has nothing to do with his sexuality. My reason for not supporting him has everything to do with the fact that he is a trash artist.
I
understand, right? And so that's been my stance with him all along. Right now, he has come out and said, like, and this was obvious what he was doing. He was trolling. Right, the religious black conservatives who came out and said, well, because you're gay, you should hate yourself, and because you're gay, you're going to hell and all that other stuff. So he embraced it and said, okay, well, since I'm going, then here, get this.
I'm going to hell in a bucket, but at least I'm enjoying the ride.
Right, exactly. And that's what he did. That part from him I actually respect, because there is a real hypocrisy in the black community about this sort of thing, right? Like, they were all about supporting him before they knew he was gay, and they were all about supporting him when they felt that racism was the reason why he was being left off the black off the country music charts. And then he comes out like, oh, by the way, for all of you people who said that because I'm gay, I'm a bad human, I'm a bad person, I'm not a Christian, all this other stuff, you get this abomination of a music video where he's twerking on Satan. You get these stupid shoes that have human blood in them. Deal with that. And now it's created this whole sort of backlash. And it's just, I'm kind of neutral on it. I don't give a shit. He's a trash artist. This is kind of a cool spite you, fuck you move, and that's all I have to say about it.
I'm all for cool fuck you moves. Excuse me, we have to wrap this up because we're going to be talking to Mark and Ben in a little bit. So we are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We're done for now.